Hey y'all, this is Rich Collins of Renaissance Publishing. Welcome to Mardi Gras Beyond the Beads, a series of conversations with Mardi Gras historian Errol Laborde about the history and traditions of Carnival, the greatest free show on earth.
Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. Now, I am happy to welcome Toni Weiss, a Tulane University economics professor who is known for her economic impact studies, measuring the effects of special events in and around New Orleans. Her 2024 report about Mardi Gras shows that the annual celebration has an economic impact of nearly $900 million on the city's economy. Toni Weiss, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Awesome. So how do you create these reports? This is your fourth one. And maybe more importantly, what are the big takeaways of this one?
So do you want me to start with the big takeaways?
Yeah.
Okay. Big takeaways. As you said, close to $900 million of economic activity, and that's just Orleans Parish, right? I did not look anywhere in any of the surrounding parishes.
Wow.
That translates to a net fiscal benefit for the city of $28 million, right? Because the city spends a lot of money making sure that the people along the parade routes are healthy and safe and that the sanitation is cleaned up. And so this past 2023, they spent about $10 million doing that, but the net fiscal benefit is about $28 million. So it translates into a $2.64 return on investment.
Okay, for someone who's not an economics professor or major, talk me through that. You said it's a $900 million economic impact. The city spends X, and it ends up with that what do you call it?
So we're net fiscal benefit. So we're just talking about the money flowing in and out of city government at that point, right? So the city spends a ton of money, but they get a ton of money in tax revenues because of Mardi Gras, just Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
So you take the total amount of tax revenues that they earn, you subtract what they spend, and that's where we get to that $28 million.
Understood. So separate from that $900 million big figure. And so the city's expenses are for safety, police, sanitation.
Sanitation, police, parks and recreation has some spending. But the biggie is the police. And particularly this past year in 2023, so I don't know if you remember, but the crews all wanted to get back to their original routes, but there wasn't enough police to make sure everything was safe. And so they actually had to bring in officers from around the state and even some of the surrounding states.
Right.
They had to pay them.
House them.
They had to house them. Yes.
And there's some controversies there, I remember, from last year about where they were being housed.
Yeah. But that translated to a lot of expenditures.
Gotcha. So now, the one thing I always thought was notable is that $900 million figure, and you're saying it's just limited to one specific area, and it was more than twice the figure from your first report. Is that right?
So I've done this. This is the fourth one I've done. Yeah. I did it in 2009, 2011, and 2014.
Okay.
And really, my 2011 was the bigger one. 2009, we were just kind of getting started, trying to figure out how to do this. 2011, we really did it big. 2014 was more just an update from 2011.
Okay. Got you.
Now we did it. I did it again, kind of really a full in-depth. And yeah, it's huge. But a lot of that is better data collection and much better cooperation with the crews and the crew members in order to pull that in.
I did see that you would call this the best informed and most accurate study so far. And yeah, that's just because more people wanted to get behind it.
Yes, exactly. And so more people were willing to give me their data. Also, just think about the difference in just the way we interact with surveys, right? So back in 2011, I was literally mailing surveys to crew members and then wanting them to mail them back. And shocker, they didn't. But this year, I just use Qualtrics surveys and sent out emails, and it was it was a link.
What was the platform? What was it?
It's called Qualtrics. It's a surveying thing that we use at Tulane.
Okay.
And it's like SurveyMonkey or Google Forms.
You like it? Qualtrics works?
Yeah, I do like it.
Okay.
And so then they could just fill it out on their computer, and then I got the results.
So now this is where I did want to talk about the methodology, what actually happens, how you collect this data. So what are you asking these folks?
So the crew members, I'm asking them, how much money did you spend? Like, so I tried not, one of the issues with collecting this information is not double counting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if a crew member told me about their dues. Those dues flow into the cruise.
Okay.
And then I was also getting information on the cruise on what they were spending money on, and they use the dues in their expenditures, right? So if I got the dues from the crew members, it's you're double counting.
Yeah.
So I'm like, don't think about that. Think about all the additional things that you spend money on, additional beads and on costumes and on catering and on the ball and on transportation and on housing, because a lot of them stay downtown for the ball. And then it's not just those, the day of the parade or the day of the ball, but all through the year they have events that people spend money on.
So you're surveying crew leadership. You're not trying to survey every member of these crews.
I surveyed every member of the crew. So I got the crew leader to send out my survey to every member of their organization.
And then what response rate were you getting?
So I got about over 2,000 responses, but a lot of those I had to throw out because people would open it up and then start and then not. I can't finish this right now, and then they'd close it. So I didn't get full information.
Okay.
So I got about full information from about, and I don't remember, something around 1,300 crew members.
Spread across, several dozen crews, is that what that is?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Then were you, I'm thinking, because that's obviously not all the crew members, but then were you able to essentially say, on average, this crew spent this much, and then we know there's this many crew members?
Yes, exactly. But then I also had to think, right, that it's my belief that the better resourced crews and the better resourced crew members are the ones who were answering. And I could just kind of tell from the numbers that they were giving me. So I couldn't just take that and extrapolate it up. I had to do some discounting to allow for the less well-resourced crews and members.
That is so interesting. I don't want to ask a bunch of specific questions and put you on the spot, but roughly how many crews are we talking about here?
Now you are putting me on the spot. I think it's 32 parading crews, and then there's a number of non-parading crews, right? They have their ball, but they don't parade.
Okay. And now, so the expenses, you mentioned some, but primarily people are spending money on the stuff they're throwing.
The stuff they're throwing.
The expense of the parties.
The expense of the parties, the transportation, the catering, right? Because a lot of them, they'll get caterers while they're waiting to roll. They're buying gifts for the people on the float. A lot of them are flying in, right? The people fly in to ride in parades.
Travel,
and so it's all that
lodging.
Travel. Exactly.
Yeah, that's what's interesting, too, is the super crews of the last decades. I mean, lots of out-of-town people are coming in and spending money to build this event.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, families that have been here forever. It's visitors.
But a lot of times it's people who grew up here and they've gone somewhere else and they're coming home.
Gotcha.
And it's such a family thing, right? Sons are riding with fathers, with grandfathers, right? Bringing these people on who've been doing this for years. Yeah.
I was thinking about this. Is there an analog to carnival anywhere where you have this essentially a private party, a bunch of private parties and private parades? All paid for by the groups, and then it benefits the entire city.
I can't think of anything. And in fact, what I think makes Mardi Gras so unique is it has almost branded the city, but in a positive way. Like if you go anywhere else in the country and you go into a restaurant that serves New Orleans-style food, it's going to be decorated with purple, green, and gold, and there will be beads, and there'll be masks. I mean, it's Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
When you see tourists who come to town, how many times have you been out on a streetcar or in the quarter or wherever in July and you've got tourists and they're wearing beads and you're like, tourists. But but that's because of Mardi Gras. And they're here because of Mardi Gras. Anytime there's a convention in town, Blaine Kern's company is throwing a mini Mardi Gras parade for them. And they're taking them from their, from their hotel down to the convention center or whatever.
I noticed I dropped somebody off and picked somebody up from the cruise terminal the other day. And when you do that, you drive directly at Mardi Gras World. It's essentially just an ad for Mardi Gras World for every single person going to get on
exactly.
The ships.
Yeah.
So besides cruise, who do you talk to? Who else is?
So you talk to business leaders around, right? You talk to some restaurants. I had a long conversation with Blaine Kern. It's a little it's that one's a little harder, right? Because, you know, you can talk and talk and talk, and you get so much information, and then at the end, they'll say, "What else can I tell you?" And I'll be like, "Well, can I get some revenue numbers?" And then the conversation kind of dies right there. They don't want to share that, which I totally get. And if they share revenue numbers, then again, I'm back to this concern of double counting, right? Mm-hmm. So if somebody says, "Oh, I spent this amount of money because I was eating out because of Mardi Gras," and then the restaurant gives me their revenue numbers and that differential, well, now I've double counted those dollars.
Okay. So now you said you made contact with a couple thousand crew members. You got 1,300-ish responses that you could use. Give me some more metrics for you. How many people with you are working on this? How much time does this take? And how many people beyond those, say, couple thousand crew members do you contact in this process?
So I did this was a kind of a one-person show. I did it myself. But I did have Tulane students help me early on, but it was a limited trial. If I were to do this study again, this is where I really want to beef up my data collection. I had Tulane students along the parade routes trying to collect surveys of people who were there. And is something that I would really need to increase a lot. Because I want to know, are you local? Did you come in from out of town? If you came in from out of town, how far did you come? How long are you staying? And how much money are you spending? And did you come because of Mardi Gras? Right? Because a lot of people are like, "Oh no, I came for some other reason and this was here and isn't that awesome?" And that's great, but I can't count that as Mardi Gras dollars. But if somebody said, "No, we came because of Mardi Gras and we're staying here a week and we're spending all this money," well, that's Mardi Gras and I want to collect that.
Okay, so talk to me about the phrase economic impact. I hear this all the time in my job. And, you know, I feel like it's kind of a gray, murky thing because, you know, every company that's coming into town that wants a tax break says, "Well, yeah, we're going to do this." So how do you define the economic impact, you know, the ripple effect of these dollars being spent?
So I think the easiest way to think about that is GDP, gross domestic product, right? So that's how much is being produced in a given area over a given period of time, right? And you can measure that. This is my little economics lecture here. Mm-hmm. You can measure that through how much is being spent, how much of final goods and services are being bought, or how much income is being generated.
Okay.
Right? You can do it either way. And theoretically, those two numbers should be equal.
Okay.
Because everything that's produced creates an equal amount of income generated. Okay. So when I think about economic impact, I'm thinking about the GDP of an area.
Okay.
How much does that GDP change because of whatever? So I would say that the GDP of New Orleans is close to $900 million bigger because of Mardi Gras. So if you took Mardi Gras away, the GDP would shrink by about $900 million.
Gotcha. And now is there a figure you have for what we spend to make Mardi Gras that you would say, okay, if we're $900 million bigger because of this event, is that accounting for everything that got spent to make the event as well?
It's counting for everything that got spent plus those ripple effects, right? Okay. So if you engage an artisan to create a Mardi Gras float, and they get paid. Mm-hmm. Now, what are they going to do with those dollars? They're going to go out and spend those dollars, right? And they're going to spend it somewhere else. And now somebody else has earned those dollars. Right. And what are they going to do? They're going to spend. So that's like that multiplier effect when something happens. So like these businesses who come in and say, "Oh, we're creating all this." It means they're creating jobs.
Yeah.
And those jobs, the people who have those jobs, are going to turn around and spend more money, which creates more jobs. And it just ripples through.
I think of the film industry, you know, every few years, the North Louisiana legislators try and take away the tax credits. We're always like, no, but look, all this tax revenue for the state.
Right. And that's a great example. And the tax and the movie industry is incredibly fickle, right? I mean, there's this sense that, oh, we've built up this huge infrastructure. And so even if we took away the tax credits, they're going to stay. Mm. And they're not going to stay. I mean, we've seen that across the country. You take away the tax credits, they move.
Right. You calculated that the GDP for Carnival, I say Carnival season, Mardi Gras season, is 3%?
About 3% of our total GDP.
I would think it would be bigger. just seems like that doesn't.
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot. I mean, of other. Yeah, I mean.
It's 2 weeks, or is that what you consider the 2 weeks of the parade season? Is that the time period?
Yeah, but I mean, when you think about Mardi Gras and what I try and do in my study, it's from the moment Ash Wednesday is over.
Okay. Yeah.
To the following Fat Tuesday.
Yeah.
Planning is being done. I mean, the moment Mardi Gras ends for 1 year, those crews are starting to plan what they're going to be doing for the next year, what their theme is, right? They're getting the royalty. The royalty is starting to spend money. I mean, those dollars are starting early.
I know there's a phenomena where the later Mardi Gras carnival, I'm sorry, Mardi Gras day occurs in the calendar, the longer the season and the bigger the impact, right? So this year is going to be mid because it's early-ish.
Right. And I think that's a lot of reason. I mean, there's a lot that goes in there. There's not as much time for some of the celebrations. The earlier it is in the year, too, the less tourists you're going to get because it doesn't coincide with, like, kids'
spring breaks.
People don't think the weather, maybe. I don't know. But I think
also, we're still recovering from the holiday spends and everything.
Exactly.
Give everyone a month, and then they're like, yeah, let's go party.
Right. You know, that's something that's actually kind of interesting, that Valentine's Day here is, like, where in other places, jewelers and florists, they make a lot on Valentine's Day. Here, they don't. And with this year, where it's February 13th, they're not going to make anything.
Forget it.
Right.
That's too bad. Yeah, Valentine's Day, which is such an important event for so many parts of the country, is just kind of a
It's just not a thing here. Yes, exactly.
So I am surprised, though, that the size of the impact is so much bigger than it was a decade ago, because I felt like the perception is that COVID really knocked us back a rung. But do you think that it's just because the data you're getting, it's getting more granular, you're just getting more information, so you're able to demonstrate the bigger impact? Is that?
I think that's the main reason. Also, remember, there has been inflation, and these dollars they're what I say nominal dollars. They're current dollars. I didn't adjust
not
them.
Not adjusted.
They're not adjusted for inflation, exactly.
Okay, I understand. Okay, let's see. Other economic questions. What can I find here? Well, I'm actually curious, how did this become your thing?
My thing.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah. So I honestly, you know how so many things you just kind of fall into.
Yeah.
And so back in 2009, John Charbonnet reached out to Paul Spint, who was at the business school.
Okay.
And how Paul and I connected, I'm not entirely sure. I was doing some other economic consulting work. And so we did that 2009 study, and then 2011, they wanted the same people wanted to do it again. And Paul said, yeah, I don't really want to. And so I just kind of took it on, and then here I am.
Yeah, episode 4, and then you're doing it. You're not going to do it every year.
No, it doesn't need to be done every year. I mean, I feel like this is a good every 4 or 5 year kind of study.
Understood. All right, now I'm really curious to know, how do you personally participate in the season? What does it mean to you? What traditions do you get involved in? What do you not get involved in at all? Or is this how you do it? You
so
study the economic
this
impact.
This is how I do it. You know, and it's funny because on King's Day, and I was down with the big King's Day celebration, and I was talking to a reporter, and he's like, what's your favorite part of Mardi Gras? I was like, well, I have grandchildren now, and that's what I said. Well, I have grandchildren now, and then I could just leave it at that. And then it was like left.
Implied that that means you're going to be on a parade ladder for 25 parades.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I like to dip my toe in, but I'm not a huge Mardi Gras. I'm not a big crowd person.
That's so interesting. But so maybe this literally is the way with your talents and interests can participate in this event.
Exactly. That's what I do.
Well, do you have any last-minute thoughts to share with us before we sign off? I don't know if I asked you all of the most important takeaways, but did we talk about the tax side of things? Like, who gets taxes and how in the city and the state?
So the primary, the main place that those taxes are coming in would be the sales taxes, right? On everything that's being bought, and also when the tourists come in, so that hotel tax. And everything that they're spending money on is tax. And that's also how money is flowing into the state.
Yeah.
So one of the things, and that was a really minimal kind of analysis, but $14 million of tax revenues are flowing into the state of Louisiana, okay. down into Baton Rouge. And that's, again, just from Orleans Parish. And if you think about Mardi Gras across the state, we're thinking about a lot more dollars that are flowing into into governor's office.
You did say that you feel like the actual impact of this goes far beyond what these numbers show, and yeah, do you just want to explain why that is?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I try to be super conservative. I'm really conscious of creating a report that's academically rigorous.
Right.
And I've had a number of conversations just since this report came out with different people who are interested in me doing a study, and I've said, look, I'm happy to do that. And I told the people who commissioned this, it has to be academically rigorous, mm-hmm. right? And so in that, I'm going to be conservative just because I couldn't put my name on something that I'm just kind of throwing out there in the wind. So I think these numbers are super conservative. And I think that, A, if I had the manpower to go along the parade routes, I would see a lot more. I would be able bring in a lot more economic impact.
Understood. So really, I'm thinking about, and just as a final thought, your report, it sort of answers the question that I remember I had a conversation with somebody, let's just say somebody, who said, hey, what if New Orleans just didn't do Mardi Gras one year, took all the money that we spent on Mardi Gras, and go, fix some streets, fill some potholes, But I guess the point, what this data shows, that this event every year generates a lot more than it costs us.
It does, because when we think about fixing those potholes, right? That's mm-hmm. taxpayers' dollars that mm-hmm. are going to do that, right? And so, yes, that would be great. I've got a big one right outside my house. But this is, right? For every dollar that is being spent to stage Mardi Gras, the city is making over $2.50
right.
back.
So the trick is throw the party and then fix the potholes.
Right. And if you got rid of Mardi Gras, that would seriously impact the budget, the city's budget.
Understood. Right. Toni Weiss, Tulane University economic professor, known for her economic impact studies. Thank you so much for sharing all this wisdom with us.
Thank you. Enjoyed it.
As always, if anybody has any questions or comments, just send me an email, errol@mynewOrleans.com. And for the subject line, put Mardi Gras podcast, so I'll know not to delete you.